Okay, Perek Nun Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is the Nevuah which advertised on the buses and the trains all the time. Isaiah 53. Okay, we're still holding Isaiah 52. But this is something which the Christians, unfortunately, have hijacked. The missionaries have hijacked.
Would you say what, Perek?
For their purposes. Perek Nun Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hine Yaskil Avdi. My servant will be Yaskil. What does it mean, Yaskil? Yaskil means successful. Yorum V'nisod V'gavah V'ol. Three expressions. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perek Nun Beis. Nun Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel. So it says here that my Eved will be Yaskil, will be successful. Yodom v'nisav v'gova, three expressions. So he'll be elevated, he'll be uplifted, v'gova, and also another expression which means the same thing, ma'od, very much. Now who is the Eved? Who is this? Let me over here, I have over here in front of me a Megros Gadolos, who has the Ibn Ezra. You do not have in front of you the Ibn Ezra, but I have in front of the Ibn Ezra. So let me read to you just a few lines what he writes. Hine yaskel avdi, zo saparsha kosha ma'od. Okay, it's very difficult. Amru balei puluksenu, those that disagree with us, referring to the Christians, referring to the Jews of Jay, and they didn't exist in his day of Ezra. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. Muslims are into this. I don't know. I really don't know.
That's where he lived.
Okay, but it's balei puluksenu shuhuremes le'elohehem. Wow. That this is a reference to their God. This all these psukim are going to refer to how Yosh, how they referred to Yoshka. Oh, he suffered on our behalf. He suffered on our behalf. All of the. I mean, this is the classic. This is the classic.
I'm going to interrupt you, Jake. Someone told me a very interesting defense. They said the Jews killed him. So you say to him very simple, let's say they didn't kill him and he lived to 90 and died in a nursing home in Yerushalayim, you wouldn't have a religion.
You wouldn't have parnos.
And you wouldn't need the FBI tonight at the
time. Okay, so you have to remember that, so you can't hold me responsible for my my inability to properly learn with this with you. Amr Bale Pluxenu Shu Remez Le Elohehem. I'm reading from the Ibn Ezra, you don't have this. I'm reading from the Ibn Ezra, you don't have this. Vi Farshu Avdi Haguf. And they explain Avdi referred to the Guf. The Guf, I don't know, I think they refer to very means to him, to the Avodah Zarah. I don't know exactly what they mean over by the Guf. Vize lo yitachen. So the right way the Ibn Ezra says that this is impossible. This refers to the Avodah Zarah. Ki aguf lo yaskil v'afilu kishadam chai. Because the guf, there's no such thing as becoming successful. The body, the material part of the human being becoming successful. What becomes successful, yaskil, is the neshama, is the spiritual essence of the person, not the physical portion of the body. So there's no way that they can possibly say this refers to the guf. That doesn't make any sense. According to their account of what happened to Yoshka, he did not live very long and did not have children. I mean, isn't that part of the movies of the Da Vinci Code and all these, that the whole thing is just a lie, and he did have children, he got married, he had children, and this and that. But according to the pure teachings of the church, Yoshka, how old was he when he was crucified? I don't know. He was young. He wasn't the Yarech Yamim.
In the
30s,
I think.
He was in the 30s. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely called not Yarech Yamim. And he didn't have children, according at least to the official version, the official account. So right away, what in the world are they talking about? They go and tell us that this whole section of Babylon, these next 15, 20 psukim, all about Yoshka, and towards the end it says, Yarech Yamim v'Yerezera. Even according to their interpretation, it does not make any sense.
Zera this is his followers.
What?
Zera could mean followers rather than children.
But that's not what it means. Zera means seed. Zera in Tanakh always means biological children. Okay, that's already a drush. So they, when it comes to that, they're going to make a drush. When it comes to other things, okay, this is the Ibn Ezra. I'm reading from the Ibn Ezra. He says that it cannot possibly mean v'yod matam yir zev yachyam. V'hu lo hayu lo ikach. It didn't happen. V'od yarech yamim v'lo hayu lo kain. He didn't have children. He didn't live long. It says he'll live long and have children. V'od, the S, atzumim yichalek shalol. The mighty will divide the spoils. What does that mean? What spoils? What spoils did he conquer? He accomplished nothing. He didn't have a penny to his name. So what does all of this refer to? Do you have Rav Schwab there? Good. Can I borrow? After you open up the right page, I want to borrow it. I just want to read you two lines, what it says there.
I have to sit with you as you borrow. Shalim, I have to.
What?
I have to be a marshal. I have to sit with you.
The harayu gemur ki lamalo ki hilch fnei Hashem. Now the ray. Then the Ibn Ezra says the harayu gemur, the ultimate proof that this is not referring to Yashka, is because what did we learn yesterday? What is this prophecy is sandwiched in between what we learned yesterday, which clearly discusses Klal Yisrael, where it says ki lamalo ki hilch lifnei Hashem veheim Yisrael. Thank you very, very much. What are we doing? You're not going to read it if you read it. The ray gemur ki lamalo ki hilch lifnei Hashem veheim Yisrael. The Achar Kachroni Akara Vihi Knesses Yisrael. The parsha immediately before and the parsha immediately after describes Klal Yisrael, Knesses Yisrael, and not a new nation, and not an Avodah Zarah, Yashka. So how can you say that all of a sudden, in the middle, after the previous pasuk, that Hashem will gather us in? Hashem will gather in Klal Yisrael, times of Mashiach. He will go in front of us, and He will walk behind us, and He will take us out of our exile, not in a state of haste. And then the next prophecy after this prophecy concludes is what we will haftarah roni akara v'lo yalada, and that is haftarah parashas what kisaytzei. He's ad noyach parash kisaytzei kinekuni. That refers specifically to Klal Yisrael, and this, according to them, refers to Yashka, refers to something which is not part of Klal Yisrael, which is a separation from Klal Yisrael. So how could it possibly be that this is sandwiched by Klal Yisrael with something which is completely alien to Klal Yisrael? That's what Ibn Ezra, and obviously there's more depth. I don't know the details to the degree to fully understand what Ibn Ezra is saying, but he's saying basically that you cannot possibly. Then he goes on to explain what it means then. So basically, the first thing we have to know, the Ibn Ezra says, don't be fooled by the Christians who tell us that this section refers to Yashka. That is not so. It is impossible. Number one, it says here that he will live long, and Yashka did not live long according to their account. Number two, it says that he will have children. According to their account, he did not have children. Number three, it doesn't make sense that this parasha should be juxtaposed between the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show for Klal Yisrael, when according to their theology, Klal Yisrael, they have been rejected, and then Hashem has abandoned them, and there is no Klal Yisrael anymore. How could Mashiach, their Yashka, be right in between two different major sections of Yeshaya that deal with the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow upon Klal Yisrael at the time of Mashiach? According to them, there is no Mashiach anymore. We're finished. We're out. There is no Knesset Yisrael anymore. It's been taken over by a new religion, a new Avodah Zarah. Okay, then he goes on to ask, who then is this prophecy referring to? So in his discussion, he quotes Rav Sadia Gaon, and this is fascinating. This is something which requires a lot of study. That he says that the entire parsha refers to Yirmiyah. We just got through the Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av. Who is the person of Tisha B'Av? The person of Tisha B'Av is Yirmiyah. It's all about Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah wrote Eicha. Yirmiyah was the one that witnessed the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He was the one that took them, went with them to Golus, and gave them even to a certain degree comfort. He predicted it. The whole Tisha B'Av is all about Yirmiyah from beginning to end. Yeshaya lived 125 years before the Churban. Yeshaya just predicted things that are going to happen. We're using his words for the Shiva de Nechemta, but it's all about Yirmiyah. Now, if you study Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah, by the way, is much, much, much easier than, not say much, much, but it's easier than Sefer Yeshaya. It's written in the same style as Sefer Melachim. It was, and it's much easier. And there are a lot of stories. And one thing we learned about Yirmiyah, he was tortured. He was thrown into a dungeon. He was harassed because he was telling them that there's going to be a churban. When he wrote the Megillah, he had to flee. Megillah Seicha was destroyed. He had to run for his life when he wrote Megillah Seicha. We discussed that, the two different editions of Eicha. He was afraid for his life from the king. But yet, that's a very interesting insight. The Rav Sadia Gaon understands everything in this parasha as a reference to Yirmiyahu. He was the one that we're going to read about in all these psukim that suffered greatly on behalf of Klal Yisrael. His suffering was the kapara for Klal Yisrael. It answers a lot of questions, but it also creates more other questions. But then he goes on to say Ibn Ezra, which is basically the approach of almost all of the other Mefarsh, that it refers, at least in the beginning, it refers to Melech HaMashiach, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The two main approaches are, it refers either to Melech HaMashiach, or it refers to the entire Klal Yisrael personified as the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch. Avdi is a mashal. Like we said yesterday, when Yirmiyah came back to Yerushalayim after he witnessed the Churban Beis HaMikdash, he met a woman dressed in black. He called her the Yifas Toya Menuveles. She had a beautiful form, but she was filthy dirty. And this woman personified Tzion. Same thing here, we have an Eved. The Eved personifies Klal Yisrael, who has suffered in the time in Golos. Okay, so we'll leave it with that. I just want to point out what Rav Shraub writes. This is shocking what he writes. Such harsh words. He writes here about also how this has been hijacked by the present Mevuah. 52:13 through 53:12 is known as the Eved Hashem, God's servant Mevuah. Ibn Ezra says, that's what I quoted, this chapter is very difficult. Kashem Oid. Our adversaries have said that it alludes to their God. This is impossible even from their point of view because the Navi says, Yire Zera Yanech Yamim, and this did not occur to him. The missionaries know these chapters very well and can quote them by heart. They have taken our Tanakh, this Nevuah is a prime example, and misinterpreted to fit their needs to influence Jews to leave our Muna and adopt their religion and its figurehead. These people, who are often renegade Jews, use these and other psukim to attempt to sell their religion to others, especially to weak Jews. The lowliest creature that ever existed in the world is a Jewish missionary who attempts to steal other Jews away from our emuna and adopt their religion as its figurehead. Even the lowly drug dealer stands a mile higher than these people do.
Washington.
This is what he says. Okay, this is what he says. It was like, wow. Okay, he's going to take it back. Okay, so this is a fascinating insight. Passion from Rav Shmuel.
How they defended that he has no children?
I went to the store and I asked them, can I have a book on Dama al Hoshif? I mean, yeah, it has someone. I'm sure there's something out there where I mean, this is their thing from Perik Nun Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel to the end of Perik Nun Gimel. This is their thing. There must be a response. I'm sure they professionally train to how to respond. So I figured it must be in print. But they told me they don't know. I should look in this section. So I went through. I spent like 20 minutes going through all the books. I couldn't find. I was like, no, nice. I have to probably go online and find them more books. But I couldn't find anything that can actually deal with these psukim head on. What do they say? And what is the response? And you can read the mafarshim. You see what the mafarshim say. So on your own, you can play around. But I'm sure there's someone, professionals have developed a response in a much more precise, accurate manner than I can possibly do.
They might want to keep it close to the vest because then the other side gets their hands on it and...
Okay, but...
When he had this discussion...
The Kuach.
Yeah, did he touch on this?
I don't know. The Kuach of the Rabban is printed. It's recorded. And that was like in the 13th century, or later, 14th century. Remember, the Rabban was 12... No, sorry, the 13th century. The Rabban was 12 or something. Wait, in the late 13th century. I don't know. I'm getting a bit confused because the Burial Talmud was in the year 1242, and the Ramban was much later than that. So it must have been 13th or the beginning of the 14th century. Okay, let's see. So here we go. Let's now just try to go through very similar groups. My servant will be referring to the time of Mashiach. Yaskalavdi, let's learn for the moment that this pasuk refers to Melech HaMashiach. He'll be extremely successful. Yodum, Venisov, Vigavimod, three expressions. There must be very great significance in what these three words mean. Every different dimension of greatness will be achieved by this person called the Eved Hashem. Either it refers to Melech HaMashiach, refers to Klal Yisrael personified, or refers to the Avsad Yigon as Yirmiyah. Ibn Ezra doesn't like Avsad Yigon. He's very critical of Avsad Yigon's approach. But let's go further. Kasher, now we go to Pasuk Gidal. Kasher Shomemu Olecho Ram. This is a very powerful Pasuk. Kein Mishchas Me'ish Marei. Let me just read the entire Pasuk and the Pasuk's entirety. All these next three words are very hard to translate. We have to really struggle word by word to get the flavor of what the Pasuk means in its entirety. Kein Mishchas Me'ish Marehu V'So'aro Me'bnei Adam. So let's work backwards. Pasuk here says Mishchas. Mishchas means destroyed, worn out, rubbed out. Me'ish Marehu. The Jewish people are subhuman. They're viewed by the nations of the world, by our enemies, as subhumans. We're not human beings. The Nazis did not view a Jew as a human being, just an animal. Animal you can kill, so you can kill a Jew. So Mishchas Me'ish Mar'ei. They look different. They have long noses, and they're short. They have certain features. Jews look, they're not considered to be humans. This so aro, their appearance, Mibnei Adam, is different from other segments of humanity. And that is Mishchas. That is we're diminished. We are inferior. And the nations, now we go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, Kasher Shomemu Alecha, they wonder. They're in awe. Not in awe. They're in a state of wonder. Look at you. You're not a human being. You look different than everyone else. And therefore, we have no choice but to exterminate the Jewish people. I read Schwab, he writes, and I read this also. They published only like 2 weeks ago an article published from Rabbi Elias. I told you about this yesterday. They published a book, how a curriculum to teach about children about the Holocaust, all a curriculum and everything based on Dama Lohoshev. What are the Iker Yisoidos to know about the Holocaust that every single person should know, not only for children? Okay, there are a lot of books that have been put out like this, but this is another book, and it's really good. It's really on the mark. Very, like, a right-wing Hashkafic book of everything you need to know about the Holocaust. And there's a whole section showing how the Nazis dehumanized the Jews with the curriculum, what they taught their children, with these like monsters and all their various expressions. And Schwab writes that one of the techniques that the Nazis did was to in the ghettos and in the concentration camps was before they killed them was to starve them on purpose. That way, when a person has been starved to death, they look funny. Their bones are popping. We've all seen the pictures. Their bones are popping out. Their heads, their skull, nothing is in the correct proportion when a person doesn't have a balanced diet. Oh, so then you don't even look normal. You look like a freak. A freak is not a human being. So there's no harm in we can kill you because you don't look like human beings. That was a technique which was used by the Nazis to show their own people, their own soldiers, they're not human. They're freaks. We can kill them. And that's exactly what it says here. Shomu Alecha Rabin. Many people, many nations, many people, they were in a state of shock. Tomu, in wonder. You're not a human being. Cain means it is true. Cain benos Tzlofchad Dovros. The daughters of Tzlofchad have spoken correctly. What they have said is on the mark. Cain, it is correct that Mishchas Me'ish Mareil, that these Jews have been diminished from the appearance of an ish, of a human being, this so'aro, and their another expression, which means the same thing, their appearance has been diminished from mibnei olam. So it's going to take all the words together. It is, yeah, but it's one thing that I left out. That's why these psukim are very difficult. See, it's hard enough when you have one pasuk. I have to take all the bits and pieces and put it together to make sense out of it. But it gets even more difficult when one pasuk cannot, the pasuk cannot be read on its own, or it must be read with the next pasuk. And the connecting word in this pasuk is the word ka'asher. Ka'asher means it will be true to the opposite degree. Kain yazeh. Yazeh means to startle. They'll be in a state of shock. Yazeh corresponds to the word shomemu. But shomemu is a word that has a connotation. They are in shock, in wonder, with a negative attitude. Shomemu, you're in shock. But you're in shock over, oh no, or like something bad. This is horrible. Yazeh is a shock when you realize something is very great. You're just shaken up. You see greatness, godless. Kein yazeh, goyim rabim. Many nations will be startled, love upon the Jews, when they see their greatness at the time of Mashiach. Rabim, olav. Yikvitzu melachim piyam, kings. And this can mean one of two things. There's a disagreement. The kotze la kotze in the mefarshim from the Metuta Siyam and the Radak. Either it means they will close their mouth in shock, or they'll open their mouth in shock. Can mean one or the other. Ki asher lo supar lohem rahu. They will see things about the Jews even greater than what they've heard. In other words, they'll get a report on the radio or on television, they'll hear the Jewish people, they're awesome. They're incredible. And then when they actually come in contact with them, and they deal with them, they'll say they're even greater than we ever heard. We only heard they're this great, now that we deal with them, we realize they're even greater. And things that they have never heard, they'll come to realize on their own intellect, the greatness, the godless of the Jewish people. Okay, so these are two psukim. We have to translate them again, translate them again. But basically, the idea of the pasuk is saying a principle which is found in Tanakh. The principle of it is Samcheinu Kimos Inisanu, that our joy should equal our tsar. In life, this is something which is, it's very true. A person generally has a lot more tsar in life than they have joy. The moments of joy, the simcha, you have to really clarify what that means, but most of life is frustrating. You're trying to accomplish, you're struggling, you're trying to achieve a goal, and then, once in a while, it clinches. You make it. You have a simcha, someone gets married, you have a child, and then, wonderful, we've accomplished, on to the next problem. And then we have that simcha is a new, it's a new starting point to go further. But then the frustration starts all over again until you reach that next moment of satisfaction. The moments of satisfaction and simcha are relatively small compared to the frustration and tsar that a person experiences to get there. And that's so much more so for Klal Yisrael on a whole. Look at all the Tisha B'Av, all the massacres, and the tsaros, the kinos. It's like there's just no end to it. And did we have in our history simcha? Did Klal Yisrael achieve times of joy that match the times of tsar? I mean, how many times of great success did Klal Yisrael have? So people who are very Zionistic will say Eretz Yisrael. Okay, wonderful. So we have Eretz Yisrael. Is Eretz Yisrael, was Keneged, the simcha that you have Eretz Yisrael, and there's a certain sense of security that you have a state, and you're able to go somewhere, and you have a shtickle gaiva that, don't start with us. We have our own, we have security. Is that correspond to the tsar that Klal Yisrael experienced for 2,000 years? The Holocaust, Crusades, Inquisition, all the things that the tach v'tat, and blood libels, pogroms. I think most people would say it's just a tibush shabayam. OK, okay. It's, no one's denying the greatness. No one's denying how what a great simcha we have and all these different little things here and there. Sima Shas, right? Tonight. Wow, what a great simcha. What a great simcha. Does it match the tsaris of all the terrorist terrorist bombings that Klal Yisrael experienced? I don't think so. It's a nice thing. It's very good. It's a wonderful event. It's the simcha. So what do we mispal for? Samcheinu kimos inisani. Our simcha should correspond at least to the degree of tzad that we've had in the past. That we don't have today. That is something which is reserved for Yimos HaMashiach. And that is exactly what it's saying here in this pasuk. Not necessarily in regard to our simcha, but in regard to the respect, it's even greater, the respect the nations of the world will have for Klal Yisrael relative to their despicable and horrible treatment of Klal Yisrael throughout Galus. Throughout Galus, they look down at us, they step on us, they torment us, they harass us, they terrorize us. How often do you see a guy giving praise about the Jewish people? It's almost non-existent.
Robbie.
What? I told you the joke about Gehenna and Gan Eden.
No.
Yeah, I told you the joke. The guy, the person comes to Shemayim, Achamev Eshem, and they say, "No, everything is equal, 50-50. You can go to Gehenna. You have your choice. Gehenna or Gan Eden. Where do you want to go?" So we'll give you a tour. Take him to Gan Eden. The Malachim, they're singing. It's very spiritual. It's very spiritual. They take him. Want to see Gehenna? Yeah. Take him to the elevator all the way down. Open up. Everyone is dressed. Everyone comes to greet this new person. Everyone is dressed in their best, finest clothing. There's a food galore, kol davar gashmi that you can possibly imagine is presented in Gehenna. So the guy comes up to the desk and they say, "Where do you want to go?" So the person, "I never thought I would say such a thing, but you know, I'm not such a big lamdan, such a spiritual person. Gehenna is pretty good. One thing, you can't change your mind. This is eternity. Go to Gehenna if you want to go there." So that's, "I never thought I would say this, but I'm going to take Gehenna." He goes down to Gehenna, and it's a wasteland. There's nothing. There's no food. There's no water. The streets are filthy. Everyone is dressed in rags and shmatas. He then meets the people that were dressed so beautifully in all the food. And he says, "What happened? I was here yesterday. Everything was so nice and beautiful. Yesterday, we were campaigning." new client, a new vote. This is reality. Okay, so Samcheinu kimos inisanu. You still going to vote for Romney?
No, it's just what his statement regarding that he upset the Palestinians.
I'll upset the Jews tomorrow. Don't worry.
Good.
Today, Zion, tomorrow, like this. Politics. Okay, let's go further. But the point is, these are two very powerful psukim. We have to focus them because the psukim we're reading about the psukim. The idea of the pasuk is that to the same degree that the nations of the world despise the Jew, on the opposite side of the spectrum, even more on the opposite side of the spectrum, they're going to have respect and they're going to have awe and reverence for the greatness of the Jew. Now that we know the theme with a little bit taste of what the words of the pasuk, now we can understand the psukim together. You have two key words to focus on in these two psukim, Gedal and Tezavav, are the words kasher with the word kain. And pasuk Gedal describes the Jewish people in a lowly, humiliated state. And Cain is the opposite. When Mashiach comes, it's going to flip to the opposite direction, and the nations of the world are going to be in utter awe and reverence of the Jewish people. So let's read one more time. Kasher, just like Shamu Alecha Rabim. Shamu is a term of wonder, but a negative term of wonder. They look at us and they open their mouth and go, "Ugh, oi, what a Nebuch." What a Nebuch case, these funny people, they wear these funny hats and funny clothing, and they dress funny, and the yarmulkes and the tzitzis, and what do they say about us? They say, Cain, it is true that the Jew is a low life. It is true. Mishchas me'ish mareyu. He looks funny. He has a funny nose and a funny this and a funny that. They have beards and yarmulkes and peis and tzitzis. V'se'aroim b'bnei adam. And their appearance is different, is lowly, more lowly than any other human being. The same way they say that now, pum fakir, Cain, it's going to be the opposite. Yimosav Mashiach. They're going to idolize a Jew. Yazeh is the same thing as the word shomimu, but not in the negative form, but in the positive. They're going to be inspired. They're going to be startled. They'll see a Jew walk on the street. They'll shake. Do you know who's walking here? A person's walking here who says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. An enekel of a person that's been saying Shema Yisrael for 2,000 years, 3,000 years. They'll be startled. Goyim rav malov upon the Jew, upon the Eved Hashem. Yikbitzu malachim piyam. Kings. They'll be stunned. Either they'll open their mouth in awe, or they'll close their mouth in awe. Ki, why? Ka'asher lo yisubar lohem rohu. They'll have meetings. What do Jews do? What do they have? They're so great, we don't know. And then when they actually come and see them, they're going to see greatness, things more than what they've heard about. You know, today by the security, each law enforcement, that's what they write in all the articles, each law enforcement official has received 8 hours of cultural training to understand the essence of an Orthodox Jew. How he behaves, what he thinks, how he walks, how he dresses. So to know by the Siyam HaShas, to know who is a Jew and who is an intruder.
We don't get it. So how
what? Exactly. But they're going to see this is going to be fulfilled tonight. Because it's been super lohem. It's been told to them for 8 hours. Course, 8 hour course. I guess they have different 8 hours. They've been told this is the essence of an Orthodox Jew. But they're going to see things there tonight that they were not told. This is going to be fulfilled tonight. Ki asha lo super lohem ro. They have seen. Vasha lo shamu. Things that they have not been taught in the course, the 8 hour course, his boinanu, they will understand, they will appreciate, they will have insight. See, we're learning mamash and yoni diyama. This pasuk will be fulfilled tonight 100%. Okay, now we go to pasuk. Let's do one more pasuk. Nihemin lish. Now we go again. There's no Rav Shlomi writes very strongly that there's no need, there's no reason for the shviyah parak break. He writes this throughout the whole sefer, over and over. He writes this that the parakim are broken up in the strangest fashion. Whoever the printers who broke up the parakim, whether they were Christians, Mstamba they weren't Christians. Mstamba they were just what? Chumash also.
Korain also has the same breaks.
Has both. That's not Korain. Korain, there was someone years. I don't know the details, but the Rabbi Reisman has this in his book. Many years ago, the parakim break in Tanakh are totally off.
Church.
Not necessarily the church. I don't know, because if it was the church, the church would not have put a break here. The church, not Mestam, they would go all the way until Mestam would go all the way, they would put the break before. The church probably would put the break in Pasuk Yud Gimel, and gone all the way to the end of Pasuk, gone all the way to the end of Perek Nun Gimel. So even the church, it's not Nuchuch. A lot of the things then that the way they interpret also doesn't fit perfectly along with their lines. It appears that it was through printers, people who had a monopoly over the printing press. They were obviously not Jewish, or maybe they were Jewish, I don't know, and they weren't Talmidei Chacham, they weren't devout Christians who knew the teachings of the church with such accuracy to break up the parakim the way it should be broken up, according to us for sure, and according to them, things don't seem to stem from what I've read. The printers, they decided, they got away with it, it became accepted, and it's too late to go back. That's it, it's finished. There's no way, no one's going to start making the program. They tried. In Eretz Yisrael, they tried a long time ago, maybe 100 years ago, 200 years ago, to break up Tanakh into new parakim. And it's printed in the Korain. The Korain is so confusing because it drives you crazy. You have to go look up a pasuk in the Korain Tanakh, unless you know they have both. They have the traditional, they have the printed, they have the new. I don't know where it comes from. It comes from some Haredi organization going back probably 100, 200 years. but it never picked up. It never caught on, and it's unheard of. Someone today, any scholar or any Talmud Chacham that's going to quote a pasuk, you're not going to use the new system because no one's going to know what you're talking about. You're going to use the printer's system, which is the way it's.
I mean, on a page of Gemara, you've got all those footnotes for citation.
Exactly, it's not going to work. They tried. They thought. I don't know. Rabbi Reisman tells you exactly what happened. They thought they're going to make a new seder. Could be like 150 years ago, and at that point in time, Klal Yisrael wasn't so big where it was out of hand. Maybe at that point there was still hope. You can go against the flow of traffic, but not anymore. Now it's already done deal.
You have sukkos and stuvos in your
yes.
So
yes.
What's that based on?
That's Mesorah. That is Mesorah.
So that's not where the new system took the.
No, I don't think so. I do not believe so, because that would be too short. Because they wouldn't want to make a perek every two pesukim, especially in Tanakh. Even the Chumash, you have five pesukim. It's a new parash stuma. You have a billion parashos. It's going to be so. They had like, I don't know what their cheshbon was. Mm-hmm. They had more of a cheshbon. But in Chumash, you find it very often. You learn even on Pasha the Rashi. You learn few pesukim Rashi. You see that there's no reason why there should be a parak break. It should go further. Another couple of pesukim, according to Rashi's Malach. Sometimes learn according to the Ramban. When according to the Ramban, the Rashbam, it's different. The attack, it doesn't make sense. It should stop here, go further. But that's a topic in never said. Let's go one more pasuk. Mihemin lishmu asenu. Who would believe what we heard? Maybe we should read some of these things because they're very hard to. These are very hard pesukim. Let's see the mitzvahs. This part in the mitzvahs is a very hard pasuk. Mihemin mitzvahs David. Pasuk Aleph. Mi hemin lishmu asim. Hem means to believe. Who would believe what we heard? Oz yamu vagoyim. So who is speaking? First thing, it's the nations of the world. They are speaking. Oz yamu vagoyim. Anheinu loyinu hadavar beneinu. We never saw this. We can't believe this. We're in shock. We always sincerely believe the Jew is a nothing, is a pathetic creature. Who would believe this? That we've been wrong all along. That the Jew is the top of the world. We never saw this. Who among us would believe the day would come when El Hashmua Sher Shamanu about this new report that we are hearing from the most authoritative sources that the Jew is truly the greatest creature in the world. Mimarbis Hagidula Vahamem Sholo Habolishov, the greatness and the authority and the dominion that has come to the Jewish people. Who would ever believe this would happen? Uzuroya Hashem, next Mesudas, the might HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point in time will reveal his might. Uzuroya Hashem Khizekoyach Zoya Hashem Bavur Mi Niglosa Mimos Olam. The might of Hashem that's been revealed from the days of yore, that is Lishanamin Shagola Zeroya Uzo Bavu Yisrael, who would believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu would show his might on behalf of the Jewish people? Who would believe this? The Jewish people were pathetic people. Hashem would never come forward and defend and elevate and show his might and lift up his people. So we read the pasuk one more time. Nehemin lishmosim, who's speaking back to the pasuk, who's speaking, the goyim are speaking. And they're saying, we can't believe this. We're in shock. We were wrong all along. The Jews are not pathetic. They are great. Nehemin lishmosenu, uzroya Hashem al mi nigla. So who would believe? You have to take the next of those words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those five words of uzroya Hashem al mi nigla. So connected with the word mihemen. See, mihemen goes on both parts of the psuk, but goes on the word lishmu asenu, the report that we have received that the Jewish people are great. And nachamal, mihemen, who would ever believe that the Zeroya Hashem al mi niglasa, that HaKadosh Hashem would show his might, would reveal his might over al mi, on who? It's a rhetorical question. Upon these people, upon the Jewish people, we would never believe it. And yet it's true. It is true. Okay, so we'll stop here with Pasuk Beis. We'll leave that for tomorrow.